Hi everyone, and welcome to our podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stella, and today we are here to talk about corporate social responsibility, or better known as CSR, and how it can be a change maker for organizations. We also have a special guest in this podcast, as Finia from our group has interviewed Topias from Upright to tell us a bit more about what they're doing and how they can help organizations who struggle with CSR. So this should be an interesting podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Stella. I completely agree. And hello, everyone. Also from my side, I'm Jérôme. And we'll also be here today hosting the podcast together with Stella. So shall we get started? To get our listeners' attention, we have everyone on the same track. I think we should first start with the recap of what CSR actually means.
Yeah, sure thing. To start with, CSR consists of policies, processes, and practices which organizations take into place to meet their societal needs and expectations that are put on them. And it is starting to be a stronger necessity in organizations, especially to consumers and other stakeholders, which is definitely a good thing, as long as it does not mean that the company is greenwashing, which means marketing themselves as being green or economic without actually being so. But overall, we're starting to see companies more and more being aware of their actions to the environment, society, and so on. But what concerns me is how are organizations managing sustainability, and how do they make sure that they are being sustainable and that their stakeholders are also taking care of their CSR?
That's an issue that probably several companies struggle with. And I think nowadays everything spread through the social media very fast. So if a company is not sustainable enough or is partnering with a bad company, it can ruin the reputation of your business pretty fast.
Exactly. But interestingly, as we are researching the topic for today, we came across social responsible investments, which is something that can be used also in degrowth, or so it is argued by Lehtonen. But with social investments, the company seeks financial investments while considering the social, ethical, or environmental impacts of the investment. And it feels as if the need for this type of investment or way of thinking is growing rapidly.
Agreed. And as Lehtonen mentioned, companies play such a central role in modern societies that attempts to resolve serious global issues never seems to succeed without them. With the role that CSR plays today, it shouldn't be thought that only as a way of improving the company's reputation, but also as having the role of being a change maker. Companies can, for example, with their action, inspire consumers towards a more sustainable behavior and take responsibility of their actions.
Yeah, so there's a lot of pressure on today's organizations to succeed both financially and environmentally on every aspect.
Which is why it's great that next we'll have the opportunity to hear that Upright and how they are helping businesses today.
Yes, thank you, Jérôme. Without further ado, let's go to the interview and you'll hear more from us after.
Hi, we are here today to talk about a very interesting and innovative Finnish company from the field of sustainability. As a guest for our podcast, we have Topias Sipilä from Upright Project. Thank you, Topias, for joining us today. Could you please tell us about your role at Upright and in general what Upright does?
Yes, hello and thank you. Thank you, Finja. Glad to be here. What I'm currently doing at Upright, maybe we can start with that and then go a little bit deeper on what Upright does as a company. But my role is I'm currently heading our venture capital and private equity business. And that's basically my own baby and a building block. And in general, what Upright does is we try to quantify the net impact of companies. And how we do it is we have modeled the private sector into 25,000 different products and services, starting from, I don't know, how do you manufacture a screwdriver, or I don't know, extremely granular level. And then we have an algorithm, an AI algorithm, a machine learning algorithm, that matches that into a scientific article database of up to, I don't know, plus 200 million scientific articles. And by comparing that product taxonomy of 20,000 products and services, we quantify the net impact of each of these products and services to the whole society. And then we provide this service to companies to enable them to make more smarter decisions.
Sounds fascinating and really groundbreaking. How Upright's net impact model can help companies and public sector then to organize themselves to be more sustainable?
Yes, that's an excellent question. That's a really good question. And how we see this is the problem with traditional ESG metrics that are used in for example MSCI uses or other big global players are using. The majority of they have major component on governance, which means that, for example, a tobacco company can score relatively high, or an oil company can score relatively high on a traditional ESG metric, if their governance is good. For example, if they treat their employees good, and the governance, the traditional ESG metrics are not focusing on the core products and services of a specific company. And we're trying to change this world and create a impact scoring that considers both positive and negative impacts. You can say on traditional conversation, for example, a coal power plant is extremely negative given that it produces GHG emissions. However, the coal power plant is necessary, otherwise people would freeze or wouldn't have electricity. So we're trying to quantify both the negative side and the positive side, what you get by consuming these certain resources, and doing this on a holistic scale, focusing on the products and services that the company is producing, rather than focusing on a governance or how the company is treating its employees or so forth. And how this incentivizes then. This enables a smarter decision making, given that the whole holistic and thorough assessment of companies' impacts on the society.
So this information it's more holistic, and with this information, there is a possibility to make to be more sustainable in a way. It pushes more towards the sustainability, if I'm understood correctly, isn't it so?
Yes, this or what we are aiming to do is okay. This has multiple different layers, but for example, if you're an investor and you're thinking you have your own sustainability goal, and there's no unified metric in the market. Like MSCI has their own metric, and given the caveats I just mentioned, it's extremely for example, for investors to make sustainable decisions, given that with traditional ESG metrics, a tobacco company can score high, and then you're suddenly wondering on where to put your money, which would have a sustainable impact. So that's the first layer, the investors. That this helps investors to make decisions. And then the second layer is, which is the causality of this, is that given that companies typically need money, from the financial markets, if the companies know that the financial market is waiting or is targeting or given better terms to companies that are able to create something positive to this society, this will have a chain effect that the companies will transform their business into more sustainable and more positive, impactful businesses.
So I just quickly summed it up how I understood it is so that this is an excellent way then to kind of like show to the investors in a reliable way that where they're putting their money is actually
going good to the society.
So makes it good to the society and also the environment in a more holistic way. And this is and as this is something that many investors, big investors, we're talking about the largest investors now putting their money into sustainable investments. This is an excellent way to get the information.
Yes, indeed. And a little bit building on that, you mentioned environment, but the environment is just one component component on this. So there's also impacts on health, impacts on knowledge creation, societal infrastructure. If you're building roads, we need roads in order to get people mobilized, and that is also a positive impact. So we're looking this not just only from an environmental perspective, which is of course important, but we're also trying to look this on a more holistic way with what is needed to have the society up and running.
Mm. And does this take also like the local, this kind of also localities into consideration, as I understood that it's taking information from all these kind of studies? So...
Mm. Yes, so what we're aiming to do is get the most updated research on a certain product or service, and then quantify what is that. If we say, for example, influenza vaccines, we're trying to capture the latest research on how influenza vaccines impact the society as a broad in terms of environment, in terms of knowledge creation, in terms of societal infrastructure, in terms of health, and on this one, of course, the health sector is the biggest one.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. And what about if there is, let's say, and multinational company going to Global South, to developing country? So is it gonna? It's also taking into consideration researches related to kind of the local country and its kind of
relatives. Yes, indeed. So if you're producing influenza vaccines in Africa, and there's a scientific article saying that if you produce influenza vaccine in Africa, it has an impact A, B, and Z, then the model captured. And then the model is also built so that it captures the value chain.
Mm.
If you're producing, I don't know, washing machines, and you need to mine metal from Africa in order to produce the washing machine, it aims to capture the whole value chain, that rather than quantifying the washing machine it manufactured in Europe, it tries to capture the whole value chain. And given that the majority of the commodities or metals are coming mined from Africa, it captures also the impact that the metals are needed to be mined in Africa in order to make the washing machines in Europe, for example.
Fascinating. So this is something that we definitely need to get the holistic view of the impact.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. We also noticed that you are currently working on expanding your products to employees and customers. Could you please tell something a bit more about that?
Yes, indeed. And this has the same idea as with the investors. So broadening this to a consumer landscape and an employee landscape, meaning that consumers can make decisions that if they are buying a chair, whether that chair is manufactured on a positive impact note or negative impact. And that also gives an incentive to companies to push their production into a more positive note rather than giving some kind of, I don't know how to put this, but there's little light shed at the moment to consumers what is the actual impact of different products and services, and it's extremely difficult for consumers to compare products and services. And this can of course extend to employees and employment market, given that the employees or potential candidates could make the decision based on the knowledge that, okay, we know that this potential employer is good for the society, and maybe I apply there rather than this other company where that has little bit negative impact, or I don't know whatever that is. But we aim to produce more information and more answers to questions or more information on how people choose and make decisions when consuming or when deciding where to work on and so forth, which then has same impact as the investors to the and incentivize companies to make smarter decisions on this way.
Okay, fascinating. Yes, knowledge truly is power. We have one more question. And before we let you go back to your everyday business, how Upright aspires to impact, well, let's say private, public sector globally?
Yes, definitely. So we have, like I mentioned earlier, we have the ambition to unify the whole metric, whole ESG metric scene. And by this, our big goal and ambition is to become a global standard. And we actually, back in June 2021, we made the first move on this when we partnered up with NASDAQ. So if you want to get impact data from NASDAQ anywhere, whether it's New York or Helsinki or Stockholm or any country where NASDAQ is operating, you get our data. And this is the first step to become a global ESG or global impact metric. And this is where we're driving. And once we hopefully at some stage get reach this objective, then we are able to change the global, the way that the global companies and global economics think about these kind of matters.
I believe by using this same data and metrics to all of the companies, then we need to do that in order to really, really have a good understanding the impact of different actions by companies or by public sector. So yes, this truly is something that we need in order to kind of go for the sustainability. I was actually wondering, because you are very, very good at answering in such big questions in a very, very tight form, that are you kind of linked this also to this kind of UN global goals, or is this more
we have linked this to UN SDG, yeah, SDG goals or sustainability, yeah, goals, yeah. But that the reason is we see our own, we have our own opinion, yeah, on whether those scores work, but as that is so-called lingua franca, so everyone knows and everyone's using those scores, we are also providing with our database for companies the alignment with that scoring system, but it has some caveats, but it's also a relevant data point. So that's why we're producing our own net impact scoring, and then on the side we're also producing these SDG scoring metrics. And then it's up to the companies to decide which one they think is more relevant, and then they can have a comparison on how they're doing in each metric. And if there are some discrepancies or differences, then they can assess themselves on how they see this and how they should react if some score is red, for example, on one or the other metric.
Yeah, excellent. That's interesting to hear, and very good. This was all very fascinating, and I really do thank your time. I think we all learned so much from this. So
very good. Thank you, Pinja.
Thank you, Tobias. Take care.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our studio. And as you can hear, the interview is now over. And first of all, I would like, on behalf of the whole team, to warmly thank Pinja, who brilliantly conducted this interview, and also especially Tobias Sipilä for taking his time to answer our questions.
Yes, thank you very much to Pinja and Tobias for this very, very interesting interview that tells us more about this great idea that is Upright. So to understand the Upright project very well, the main idea of the Upright project is to show what resources companies use, what they achieve by using them. Every company uses resources and exists to create some positive value with them. The Upright model is providing the most holistic data on the market for companies to do their CSR work in the most scientifically informed way. And as Upright says itself, we want to update capitalism to better serve the future of humanity.
Completely, and it's very well summarized. And from what I read before coming, the Upright model helps its users understand what is big and what is not. The aim is to make make the big picture of a company's value creation model clear amid a growing sea of details around sustainability and impact, which can easily make anyone confused. Upright can help companies with their CSR because it helps companies to see more clearly the impact of their actions. It helps with sustainable decision making, and also, as the PS well said, this applies and is beneficial not only for the environment but also for many other areas such as health and or infrastructure.
Exactly. We have learned so much today. Unfortunately, our time is running out, so this podcast is coming to an end and it's time for us to leave you. We thank you very much for taking the time to listen to it, especially on this subject as interesting as important. We will also thank, thanks Tobias and from Upright and Pinya for the interview, for accompanying us throughout this adventure.
Yes, thank you also from my side and to our listeners and everyone taking part of this podcast, and see you soon.
Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe to follow our news, and see you next week for a new exciting topic.